So now we come to the title of the text. In Sanskrit, it's called Bodhicharya Avatara. Bodhicharya is an abbreviation of Bodhisattva Charya. Charya is action, activity, conduct. Bodhisattva is a concept. Any person, whoever he or she may be, any being who genuinely wishes to free beings from suffering and wish to bring lasting happiness and peace and is committed to work towards the well-being of the people, of the beings, is called a bodhisattva. It doesn't matter whether that being is from any tradition, from any culture, from any race, or even from any realms, not necessarily only human beings. So, this text is about how to learn, how to train in the ways of the Bodhisattva. So therefore, avatara. Avatara means entering. Avatara means starting or to introduce into the conduct or the way of life or the activities of the bodhisattva. The whole book is about bodhisattva, how to become a bodhisattva, how to train as a bodhisattva, how to generate the intentions of the bodhisattvas. The Tibetan translation of that name is Sangchup Sempi Chöpa Lanjupa. So here it is a little bit more elaborate, more clear. Instead of saying Bodhi Charya, it says Bodhisattva. Sangchup Sempa is Bodhisattva, and Chöpa is the action or the conduct. Jupa is to enter into it. So that's the title of the book. Then there is a homage. And the homage is homage to all Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. This is not in the original text. This is the translator's homage, what we call translator's homage. This is also important to mention here that every book that was translated into Tibetan, they always, kept the title of the book in the original language as well as its Tibetan translation to acknowledge where it came from and to also kind of show the respect of its source and the origin. So every book that's been translated into Tibetan, in the beginning there is the Sanskrit name, Sanskrit title, then its translation of the title, then there is homage of the translator. This is, you know, the translator's kind of a prayer, you can say, or homage, so that the work that he or she would translate becomes without obstacles and smooth. But this homage also shows something very important, because it shows which category of the teachings the book belongs to. It was decided during the when the first translation works was going on, and then by the king during the time of King Tisong Detsen, and then during the time of his kind of the second generation or third generation time, King Tirulpachen, during that time, then they decided that the translator's homage should be according to the category of the teachings. So when this, here it is said, homage to all the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. Now this means this text belongs to the Sutrayana, sutras. Generally we have three pitakas. The Buddha's teachings are categorized into three pitakas. And the Vinaya pitaka, Abhidharma pitaka, and the Sutra pitaka. So it was decided that all the texts belonging to the Vinaya pitaka, the translator's homage would be homage to the Buddha. And all the teachings that's in the category of Abhidhamma, and then the translator's homage would be homage to Manjushri. And all the teachings in the category, not only the teachings of the Buddha, but its commentaries as well, then the translator's homage will be homage to the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, because sutras are mostly discussions between the Buddha and Bodhisattvas or some of his students. So that's the homage of the translator. Now we come to the the first chapter of this book. Now this book, which the title of which in English is translated as the Way of the Bodhisattva, The Way of the Bodhisattva by Shantideva. Shantideva was a very mysterious master. He lived, he was actually a prince from south of India. And when he was very young, he was introduced to Buddhism, and then he practiced Manjushri. He had a special connection with the Bodhisattva Manjushri, and he practiced Manjushri, and had great devotion to him. And when he was about to be enthroned as the king, he had a dream. And in that dream, he saw that Manjushri was sitting on the throne that he was to sit next morning. And then the Manjushri was saying, "How dare you sit in my throne?" And that he took as a sign that he should not become the king. And he ran away and practiced. He became a monk and then practiced Dharma and traveled all over India and he lived in Nalanda University for a long time, or at least for some time. And during that time, it is said that he seemed to be not doing anything, neither studying, not going to the classes, not meditating. He seems to be not teaching, not doing anything. So people start to call him Busuku, meaning, you know, eating, shitting, and sleeping. So therefore, the university authorities saw him as a bad example, and they wanted to drive him out, but they didn't know how to because he didn't break any rules. And then somebody had a good, somebody thought he had a very bright idea, and they all agreed to make a new kind of a rule that every student and a teacher in the university have to give a speech. And they asked Shantideva or Busuku to start this new system and ask him to give a teaching. And to embarrass him, they make a big throne of bricks in a very big open-air place, and asked all the students and teachers of the university to come to listen to him. So Shantideva came, sat on the throne, and said, "What kind of a teaching should I give? Something that has already been given, or something that is not given yet, or not known?" So of course everybody shouted something new. Then he started to recite the Bodhichaya Avatara. It's in stanza form, it's in verse, it's in very beautiful Sanskrit. The translation in Tibetan is as beautiful as it is in Sanskrit. It's simple, inspiring, directly touching your heart. So therefore, this text then became, everybody was completely, you know, astonished. And it is even said that while he was reciting this text, then at a certain stage he kind of levitated from his throne and he went higher and higher and disappeared. So people took notes and memorized them, and then there were some differences afterwards, and then they tried to find him, and then found him after many years and clarified, and this became then a very important textbook of Mahayana Buddhism, both in India and in Tibet. And there are countless commentaries on it, both by the Indian masters and also in Tibet. And so therefore this is, regarded as one of the most important textbooks, the classic. So therefore we decided to take this text as the first to study Buddhism. So this text has 10 chapters, and so the first chapter is on the excellence of bodhicitta. In Tibetan, it says, the qualities of the bodhicitta. What is the benefit of bodhicitta? I will talk about that. We will start this chapter in the next talk. So I think I'll stop here this morning. Thank you very much.